Yeah, Sunrise Beach, somebody, PETA went in and had a chimpanzee removed because they had it illegally, and now the U.S. Marshals Service is going to kill it.
Yeah, euthanize it.
Good job, PETA.
PETA wins. PETA wins again.
You should have left him alone. I'm sure that people was feeding him good and taking care of him.
All the manners he could eat.
Right. No cramps. You know.
Yeah, never have cramps.
Kind of reminds me of Harriet and Henderson doing chimpanzee running around, wouldn't it?
Right. Yeah. Well, I thought it was funny.
What was the one with Clint Eastwood as an orangutan, wasn't it?
Yeah. But the funniest thing you'll ever read, if you're from here and you know about it, is the U.S. Marshals Service conducted a search in conjunction with Sunrise Beach Police. I was like, I know those guys.
Well, that's a joke. That's what, it's funny because there's two of them, like Matt said.
Right.
The best thing about the Sunrise Beach Police Department is it's literally next door to a Daylight Donuts. And I'm not making this up.
Boys.
Like, you go out the door and there's a Daylight Donut right there.
It's perfect.
Ozark Traditions in the Great Outdoors.
Welcome to Ozark Traditions TV podcast, a place where outdoor topics are discussed. Now sit back as today's host brings you the outdoors inside.
Ozark Traditions in the Great Outdoors.
Hey guys, welcome back to another one. This is the Ozark Traditions TV podcast. I'm TJ. I'm here with Matt, and Justin, like always. We've been away for a little bit. Matt went to Disneyland, done some Disney stuff. Matt Smith had a birthday. He's 25 years old again.
Happy birthday, Matt.
Times two.
And a half.
Me and Justin just kind of been existing. I don't know, Justin, what have you been doing?
Nothing. I've been trying to stay hit out.
It's chain hit out. He's on the... Hey, did you buy a new Jeep or was you just looking at him?
I am probably fixing to buy a new Jeep, but we'll get into that later.
Yeah. That seems to be the new thing, the Jeeping thing.
Well, I tell you what I'm looking at. I thought I wanted a Gladiator, but that was until I found out that they put a 392 in a Jeep. So, and if you guys don't know what that is the same motor they put in the Chargers, the V8.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of looking at one of those.
I'm not interested in any of it. It's all Dodge product. I'm out.
Hello,
well, the thing is, I got two diesel pickups. And I'm not using one of them.
Yeah, so, trade one in.
Well, and he's like,
exactly.
And he's like, plus
he's
it's
like,
$6
hey,
a gallon.
He's like, gas is so cheap, I'm going to get the Jeep with the 392 in it.
Yeah.
I like where your head's at, Hampton.
Yeah.
You need the electric one. That's where they're trying to get us all to go.
Hey, boys, bring your extension cord.
Yeah.
You know, when you can put a 392 in a vehicle that's got a 121-inch wheelbase and it'll run 0-60 in 4.6 miles an hour. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not to mention you'll get like 6 miles a gallon.
Hey, who are you willing your hunting stuff to, buddy?
Yeah.
What'd you say about hunting stuff?
I'll take everything but the bow because I think he shoots PSE, right?
Yeah, you can sell it. There's sucker made every day. That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, that stuff's not going nowhere.
Oh.
Well, we just figured after, you know.
You got this Hot Rod Lincoln, you know, maybe.
Yeah.
No. We'll get into that off air.
You know what they say whenever middle-aged men start buying vehicles like that? It's like a midlife crisis thing. Do we need to talk, Justin?
I went and looked at a Porsche the other day.
A Porsche? See, there, it's all starting to happen. He hasn't killed a deer in a while, so he's getting a little itchy.
He's like, I'm either going to get a Lamborghini or
Porsche.
An NHRA dragster Jeep.
Yeah.
I did look at a Lambo too, but they were way too high. I think they wanted $260,000. It was just a look.
How do they hold up on a gravel road, you reckon?
Not great. I don't know.
So I'm probably out on that.
Probably go with the Jeep if I was
probably not my wife's car. Anyways.
The Lambo looked good with a roof rack and a big old deer on top of it.
Ranch hand make a replacement bumper for Lambos?
It probably would if you get them enough.
What about a Saturn? What's that car you got? A Saturn?
No, Hyundai.
Hyundai. They don't make one for those either.
Boy, I wish they did. My wife ran off a road and hit a tree.
We're not making this up. It's a true story.
Totaled it out.
Matt was just telling me he just drove this car to Daytona or to Disneyland, And he's like, man, that thing was awesome. It got like 30-something miles a gallon, you know. And he's like, it was just great. And then...
It's our new little gas getter car.
Right.
Well, it was.
It's a grass getter now because Brittany put it in the brush.
Yeah.
Bless her heart. I bet she did not want to call you.
No, she really didn't. She said, she told me tonight, she's like, you know, I was really scared to message you yesterday because she just sent me a text message.
Right. She's not going to... Well, you didn't have service to call you down there.
Right. So, yeah, it is what it is.
Hey, she didn't get hurt, so.
That's and the kids weren't with her, so.
Right.
You know.
Just make sure.
I'll tell you what, really, though.
You know what? It was the damn scarecrow that.
It may have been. I've waved that scarecrow like 40 times. So my neighbor's got this big garden, and they just built this new scarecrow.
Right.
Right, and I got her out, stuck out there. And every time I'm like almost past the house, I'm like, oh, Larry's in his yard, and I wave, and I'm like.
Nope, that's a scarecrow.
So maybe that's what she was doing.
She was probably, she was waving, and the next thing you know, she's off in the timber.
Sod was flying, bark
everywhere.
Did
she miss the Bigfoot, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Bigfoot's safe.
He's got a giant, this guy's got distractions like crazy. Like, plus the gravel road right in that particular area is not really the best.
Well, they just fixed it.
Oh, they did? So they can't even, they didn't even use that, because used to, there was like washboard bad right there.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's an exciting thing. You know what? Talking about exciting, I mean, Matt had an exciting week. You got to go deep sea fishing.
I've done it all.
We're going to have to get into that just a little bit. He's been down there at Disneyland seeing, or did you guys go to Universal?
No, we just went to Universal. We didn't do the
Disneyland.
You probably
did better deal there. Yeah. I mean, in my opinion, I don't know.
Well, see, here was the deal. We knew what gender we were, so we weren't allowed at Disneyland.
Okay.
I think that's how that goes. Yeah. I don't know.
Right. No confusion there at all.
There was no confusion, so we're like, oh, we don't know which line to get in. So.
Right. Well.
But yeah, we went to...
So Universal had two bathrooms.
Yep, just two. Okay. Just two.
Yeah.
Like normal.
Right.
Just the two.
So how was Universal then?
Universal was good. It was good. We had a good time.
You ride any rides?
Oh, yeah. All of them. Not all of them. We didn't ride the Velocicoaster.
No?
No. We were gonna, but I was like, I can't ride this thing without my buddy Matt Smith.
Yeah, well, here's the deal, folks. I watched Matt ride a Ferris wheel one time, and I didn't think he was gonna live through that. I can't imagine the Velocicoaster was gonna be much.
So here's my deal with heights. It's weird for me. Like, yeah. I'm not afraid of heights when you're in like motion. If that makes sense.
Going fast.
Yeah, if you're going fast,
right.
I'm okay with it. But when you're just sitting there contemplating life, like maybe I meet Jesus this afternoon, maybe not. I don't want to be up there for a long time.
Well, that was the best part about the Ferris wheel is it was like slower than the speed of smell. Like
this thing was.
They're like one lap take 20 minutes. Like one circle took 20 minutes. And you get to the top, Matt's like, this thing stopped.
He's going backwards.
He said, we're not even moving anymore. And I was like, dude, we're still moving.
We get to the top, and then the girls decide they're going to switch places so you take a selfie.
Yeah, I thought Matt was going to stab him.
And I said, we are all going to remain seated.
Yeah.
I don't know if I phrased it quite like that.
No, actually, you took your pocket knife and whipped it out. He said, any of you stand up and move, I'm going to stab you. And
because that thing was awful, awful rickety.
How do you crawl up in some of those tree stands?
Well, the tree stands are 20 foot.
Yeah, I'm not afraid of like 50 feet even. Like, I'm okay with that.
He's not afraid of like leg breaking distance. It's right. 900 feet up there in a Ferris wheel that
we later
figured out the Ferris wheel was actually moved from another location.
This was secondhand hillbilly Ferris wheel.
Yeah,
they tore it down at Navy Pier. If I'd read that deal forward, there'd have been no me getting on it. I'll tell you that.
They tore it down, drug it down here, put most of the bolts back in it, and
yeah,
she's back to work. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know one of the guys that helped haul it down there.
So, see, it was in good hands.
Oh, I'm sure the boys that hauled it did a fine job. I'm not worried about that part.
Right. The guys that tightened the nuts. Is
right. Yeah. Who was using the torque wrench on that bad boy, you know? When was the last time Leroy checked the bolts on it, you know, that works there?
You know.
Oh, that pain will hold it.
Yeah. Oh, Bubba Dave probably did all the torque wrenching.
They put so much pain on it, they couldn't back out.
Yeah. That's what I was telling myself. It was way up at the top.
Did you die?
Nope.
Nope.
Did I go back on it?
No.
Because I was offered another lap. The lady was like, yeah. She goes, we're not real busy. You guys want to go for another lap? I said, open that door and let me out of this thing.
Absolutely not. We were 10 feet off the ground. He's already looking for the latch on the door. Like,
yeah. I said, I can jump from here.
Yeah. Get me up. But the helicopter was right over there, and you were all for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's safe to say you didn't do the bungee jumping thing.
No. I'll bungee jump the same day I arm wrestle a cobra. You know, just.
I'll tell you what. I was 45 miles off the coast of Florida just a couple of days ago.
Right.
I wasn't nervous at all.
Right. Even after the captain told you about the boat that fell apart.
That was after, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, they literally. Well, you tell it.
Well, he said back in the day before the captain, when he was just a deckhand. Back in his younger days, he's like, we was on this boat one time, and he said the hull started delaminating on it, like chunks of fiberglass. He's like, all of a sudden we saw these big blue pieces like floating up behind us. He's like, huh, what's that stuff? You know, and he's like, oh, the captain's like, the hull's delaminating on this boat. Like, we could sink just here any minute. Like the engines could go to the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah,
and I was like, well. How far off the coast were you guys? He's like, oh, I don't know, 65, 70 miles. I was like, whoa, that's a pretty good swim.
Yeah.
He's like, well, we got on the radio. He's like, we all put our life jackets on.
Right. You're still 60 miles. Okay, so she goes down. It's going to be 4 or 5 hours for anybody to get to
I'm you just saying, I caught about a 30-pound snapper when we were 45 miles off the coast.
Right.
Almost had it to the boat. Old Jaws said, what looks like lunch? Yeah. Had him a fish sandwich. I reeled the head in. We threw it back in the water.
Now, a 35-pound snapper, guys, is going to be 3.5 foot long, 3 foot long, probably 3 foot.
Yeah.
2 bites, you said he had him eat.
Yep.
Yeah.
First bite, he was in about half. Second bite. Just the head, which yeah. He wasn't interested in that. He knew he'd already got the good stuff.
Well, yeah. Why would you want to eat the head?
Right.
He's like, I'll just eat the next one they try to reel up.
And, yeah.
Because that's what they'll do to you, buddy. They'll just wait.
Oh, yeah.
They'll literally sit under the boat and wait. And they're like, okay. And usually.
Well, you've just got to move.
That's what I was getting ready to say. Usually when they start eating you, and it doesn't matter how good, then usually the fishing's really good.
Oh, yeah.
You got to just pack up and leave because you can't even reel a fish past them. Yeah. Because you were 300 foot of water?
Yeah, 250 to 300 feet is what we fished.
You know, and these fish don't just like come to the top.
No, it takes you a few minutes to get them up.
And everybody's, you got reel. Well, boys, you're giving her all you got, I promise you.
Yeah.
And you still can't get them past
them. Well, and I'm here to tell you, you ain't gonna reel her faster than Jaws can swim.
Now, you ever watch Shark Week when they was trolling for them things with the seal thing, like 30 mile an hour, and they're catching? Yeah, you're not gonna.
No.
Just like trying to outswim one.
Well, here was the deal. We had two other snappers on when mine was getting eat,
mm-hmm.
and the deckhand's like, let your head back down. Maybe we'll keep it distracted.
Yeah.
And we can get these other two in the boat, which that actually did happen.
So here's the deal. I almost wonder if you could like, catch some bonita or something before you go out, and if you start getting shark problems, if you could go to the front of the boat and like tie a bonita up there and throw it out and like
right
maybe try to keep them up there because mm-hmm. bonita is really the sharks really like them because they're really bloody. I know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not.
Well, we had I don't know 4 or 5 vermilion snapper in the bait tank.
Yeah.
Probably do the same with those.
Well, I'm just thinking like if you've got to try to distract Jaws for a minute.
Right.
Or you take like Matt Smith and throw him in a dinghy and say, hey, go out there and kick around for a minute.
Yeah.
We're trying to get these fish to
slap the top. Slap that paddle on top of water 3 or 4 times. Matt said maybe.
Maybe.
No, I'm not even 45. I'm not even out there.
He said,
you're going to see the boat.
He said, if you guys got 45.
I'm seeing sand feet. When I'm out there.
Yeah, he's like,
I'm seeing the umbrella back at the.
Yeah. He said, I'll wave
beach.
At you boys when you come back.
He said,
yeah.
I can hear my wife talking. That's how close I'm going to be.
He'll be like Forrest Gump, you know, from the dock, just waving and said, hey, you boys made it back. You know what? I always had a blast. I've done it. 4 or 5 times, the deep sea fishing thing. I always had a great time. I never got sick, but usually them boats, I mean, the boat you guys was on is pretty big. I mean, it had like a full kitchen bed.
Oh, yeah. It was a 60-footer.
Yeah. So. Well, and what's crazy about those boats is when it gets, and I don't know about that one, but I know like the Freemans, the real high dollar ones, they've showed videos of them things like guys in it just rocking them, and they're rocking like crazy, and they'll hit these, what do they call them, like a stabilizer.
Well, they have ballast tanks in them, and so, and I don't know, they got some kind of gyro. I'm sure somebody knows way more than I do about it, but
somebody good at math figured that out, or science, or both.
Probably went to more than just high school like me, but yeah, they'll take all the rock out of the boat.
Well, they hit that switch, it fills this thing up, and it's just dead solid. 3 foot waves, dead solid.
Had some good napping couches in it. I got about an hour and a half nap when we was headed back in, because that's about how long it took us to run out there.
Yeah, so, they're pretty sweet. And you guys caught quite a few. You caught your limit of red snapper.
Almost, and they said this has never, ever happened. Almost caught our limit of grouper.
Which is crazy. That is crazy. I mean, I've done a little. I've done it, you know.
That captain, well, his dad was a captain.
Yeah.
And he said, I've been doing this all my life. He's like, I've never seen anybody catch that many grouper.
Yeah, usually if you caught one or two, it was like, you were like, wow, you know. But you guys had quite a few, and nice ones, too. It wasn't like it was...
Yeah, I'd say our biggest grouper was probably 30, 35 pounds.
Yeah.
Which is big.
Whoa, yeah.
And those suckers, I mean, if you think the snappers fight, those groupers fight.
Well, anybody that's watched any of our snagging things, a keeper spoonbill is about 35, 40 pounds. Mm-hmm. And they're almost 5 foot long if you count the bill, or 4 foot long, you know. So you can only imagine a grouper's not going to be that long.
Right.
So they're thick.
Yep.
You know, because I'd say that a big grouper's 30 inches probably.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be a big one.
Right. That's what I mean.
Most of these were gag groupers. Most of them were probably 15, 20 pounds.
Yeah.
You know. And they said those were good groupers, which, I mean, they could have been lying to me. Those might be tiny. I don't know.
Yeah. They're all good groupers.
Yeah.
Hey, you know me, buddy. If it fits in the skin, if we can eat it,
yeah,
it's good.
Yeah. This was a little different trip than our last one. We're like, hey, what that is? We eat that? Like, these guys are like, we're going to catch this.
Yeah.
We're going to catch this.
Well, you guys was a ways out there.
Yeah.
So they kind of knew exactly what, you know, where we were at. You flip the bait in the water and you just wait and see what grabs it.
Yeah.
You know, which was awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because we caught all kinds of stuff when me and you, I mean, we caught trigger fish. We caught vermilion snapper. We caught shark.
Yeah.
We caught.
Yeah. Old Jaws is everywhere.
I say we caught dolphin, but I think the dolphin caught us. Yeah. And when I say dolphin, I don't mean mahi-mahi. I mean flipper.
Right.
Like, they can literally untie the knot that your hook is. Because we and Matt look like dummies. We was at the bait shop, you know, and we was at the pier the night before. Well, these dolphins, and they're bigger than you think they are, people.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially, I mean, obviously there's little ones too, but, I mean, they get pretty big.
Yeah, we're sitting on this pier, and the light, it's like real kind of eerie. Like, you can see, but you can't see. And you kept hearing, poof.
Well, and it's like 10:30, 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, DJ, I'm going to say it. So we both been
hearing it. Yeah, we both acted like nothing. Like, right. I was just, man, there's something big down. And I kept thinking it, and I'm like, I don't know what that is.
I was like, that's a blowhole going off, right? Am I wrong? Is that, it's what it sounds like,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, and I said, yeah, I think so. Well, we had some headlights, and we turned it on, and big dolphins.
Yeah.
So the next day, we're at the bait shop, and we're like, man, has anybody ever caught a dolphin?
Yeah, I'm like, what happens? I know you can't catch them.
He's like, oh, yeah. He's like, yeah, we catch them. You know, you could go, and I'm like, no, like...
Yeah, they meant like a net.
Because a mahi-mahi is also called a dolphin.
Oh, right, right.
And I'm like, no, I mean like... And he's like, oh, no. He's like, they're smarter than you are. That's what he said.
Yeah.
He goes, guys, them things are smarter than you are.
I was like, well, clearly.
He's like, he's like, they can see the hook. Like, they can see the fishing line. They're probably watching you toss it off of the boat, you know?
Right.
Like they're not dumb. They'll steal your bait, though. Because they'll bite it perfect right there where the hook is at.
Mm-hmm. Or they'll take your fish.
Well, that's what I meant. Like your whole, like king mackerel.
They like them.
15-pound king mackerel, just worse than the sharks. Like Soli, when we went, he was like, sharks are one thing. He said, these dolphins, he said, you got to just
leave.
They can swim 80 mile an hour. They'll follow you everywhere you go. They like following boats.
We're going on a deep sea fishing trip in July.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Where are you guys going?
We're going to Orange Beach.
Okay. Alabama.
We're supposed to be targeting like black drum and flounder, which depend on the season, you know.
Right, which natural. I think the red snapper season's open right now. And I was looking into that on the Atlantic side.
Mm-hmm.
No season in state waters. I don't know what the deal is with that.
So they have no...
In the state waters. The federal season is just like the one you're fishing.
Right. Which state season for the Gulf side now is open.
Yeah. I think everything... I think the red snapper season is pretty much wide open in Florida right now. Statewide. And I could be wrong. If anybody listened to this podcast is from there besides my mom and dad.
Right.
But they're not from there. They live there. They're from here. But he's been down there for long enough now, I think he'd know, but...
Yeah, I can't remember, but so it opens in the federal waters first.
Right.
And then it'll open up state.
Which the state waters goes how far out?
9 miles.
9 miles out is still Florida.
Yep.
And then once you get out there, so far, it's you're not in Florida no more.
You We're know, going on
45
state waters. I'm in the county waters.
Yeah, Matt said, how do you stay in the county waters?
County water.
He said, I'm talking knee deep, boys.
So I think when... I'm getting ready to go down and visit with my mom and dad. They live in Daytona. Well, Deltona, but it's Daytona, Florida. And we're going to go on, I think we're going to go on an inshore trip. A guy that my dad works with is actually a charter captain also. And, but he, I think we're going to do like the speckled trout, redfish, sharks. You know, he said they catch a ton. They got a lot of shrimp boats, I guess.
Yeah.
And the sharks follow the shrimp boats, and they're not scared to catch sharks and eat them there. Like they said that the black tips and all that stuff are so thick now.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you right now, guys, I know the locals down there are probably like, yeah. Me and Matt caught one and grilled it, and it was very good.
Yeah.
Like a very, I mean, they're hard on a fillet knife.
Yeah.
But it was really good.
Was it rubbery?
No. It was like eating pork. It reminded me like a pork kinda. Chop. Like the, it not, was the texture
not,
of a pork chop.
Yeah, not quite that firm, but.
No,
like
it was
a firmer,
a little,
like, it's like a steak type fish, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it didn't. It wasn't like fish. It wasn't flaky like a fish. Right. It was like you was eating some kind of steak.
Kind of like spoonbill.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it was good. I mean, we ate it. We also ate a remora, so I don't know.
Yeah.
And I thought it was pretty good.
What else did we eat? They were like, that's weird.
Well, we kept all the grunts.
Not all, most, some of them.
90 of the 300 we caught, I think we kept.
Yeah. They ate.
The vermilion snapper, the beeliners, we caught a ton of them.
Yeah.
Caught a trigger fish, which I know the trigger fish are good.
Yeah.
Spanish.
Mahi.
Caught a couple little mahis. Then we kept a remora, which if anybody's wanting to know what a remora is, it's the thing that sticks to the bottom of a shark. And eats the scraps. Well, they're everywhere. And we were catching them, and there's no limit on them and no size limit or nothing. And I'm like, man, can we eat these? And the captain, he's like, okay, I'm with a bunch of rednecks now. Because that's what me and Matt just kept asking the whole trip was like, we eat that? You know, can we eat that? He's like, yeah, I guess.
He said, I guess technically speaking, you could eat it. He goes, I've never seen anybody eat one.
And I said, throw her in a box. We'll try
it. I said, that's good enough for us.
Is it poisonous, I guess, is what I'm asking. Right. You know.
What are the mercury levels like in this bad boy?
Right. I can eat a river sucker. I can handle pretty much everything. But it's a different world down there.
He said, does it pair well with possum?
So anybody...
There's only one way to find out.
Yeah. We're still on track for the possum thing. Unfortunately.
What are we gonna call it?
Possum, I guess.
First annual... Possum cookout.
Yeah. I guess I could pull them out. You guys are doing that not next week, but the week after. It was a possum cookout, right?
No. It was supposed to be last weeks when I was gone.
We couldn't get one. We couldn't get one wrangled.
I thought we were doing it the 16th of July.
No, I think we had to wait till August.
Let me guess. That's when you're leaving.
Yeah. It's like the three of us. And now, Matt, when are you going to Florida? You're the only one left.
Well, I don't know. My sister asked me yesterday if I was going.
Oh, I knew that. I knew you had some heat on you to get you down there.
Mm-hmm. I can get you at Captain's name.
Mm-hmm. He said
he don't have to go 45 miles out. He can just go like 30.
We're going out on a 24-foot boat. That's what we're going out on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, well, that's kind of what we went out with. Yeah, Sully.
With Sully. Mm-hmm. It may have been a little bit bigger.
Probably that, 30.
Was it a?
Trying to think. How many people was on your boat, Matt, when you went?
On the big boat?
Yeah.
Just me and my wife and two other couples, friends of ours.
Probably 7 or 8 people total.
Just, well, there was the 6 of us, and then there was 2 deckhands and the captain.
Yeah, but it was a 60-foot long boat.
Yeah, we had plenty of room.
Yeah. Like, you could be on there together and never see each other.
Right, yeah. We didn't even get tangled up or nothing. It wasn't like being at Bennett Springs at all.
Right.
No. My wife was a little concerned at one point, like, on the way out there.
Yeah.
She was like, the boat's smoking. Is that okay?
It's diesel, so.
Yeah, I was like, it's a diesel, babe. I said, this thing ain't got no muffler on it, you know, like.
Yeah. Yeah, when you hear the turbos singing.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a lot of boat to push, and they'll run like 30 mile an hour.
Oh, bit of it, yeah.
You know, that don't seem fast, but buddy, that's fast for a 60-foot long boat.
Right.
Like those barges that they do, I don't know if they get one of them 30 mile an hour.
Mm-mm.
I don't know if you'd want to run one of those 30 miles.
I'll tell you what, there was a lot of boats out there, though. I was kind of surprised. Like, when we got, okay, so about 15 miles, that's as far as you can still see land.
Yeah.
And when we got out past that, the number of boats that were out there kind of surprised me.
Well, I mean, they put a lot of wrecks out there.
Yeah.
So
yeah, a lot of artificial reefs.
Yeah.
They're putting in now.
Yep. You know, and that's where all the fish. See, the thing about the ocean is there's nothing. I mean, it's sand.
Right.
So if you throw something down, I mean, like you was talking about the mahi-mahi, if the old tree or some seaweed or something floating.
Yeah, we saw this big piece of bamboo. And when I say big piece of bamboo, boys, I'm talking like 4-6 inches.
Around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was floating. They stopped the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, cast around that some.
What? Like the dolphin, like, man.
There may be one on it.
And the cobia, I know the cobia like to kind of hang around stuff like that too, but they're kind of a seasonal deal. But the mahi are like, anytime I've ever been out there and there's anything floating, they don't care what it is. If there's an old barn door out there floating around, you stop and you fish it.
Yeah.
Because the mahi lay underneath it, because a lot of the little fish like to get up underneath them and kind of hide or whatever, and then things just come up. And it's just like here in the freshwater. I mean, you throw a brush pile in, you get fish on it.
Right.
So. Speaking of freshwater, the freshwater bite's not been bad neither. Summertime's here. Like the Ozarks, the boats are definitely out and about. These high fuel prices, you know, we're like, nah. They don't care.
Wide open.
But if you get out there hour before dark, you can fish.
The fuel prices are high?
Huh? Just up here.
Yeah.
They're good everywhere else.
Yeah, they're good everywhere. Yeah.
Check your blue states. They're cheap there.
They're good everywhere besides the United States. I mean, Israel, I think, has got $1.35 a gallon.
Nice. Russia's probably good on fuel.
Russia's probably pretty decent. Imagine everywhere but here.
Yeah.
You know.
Funny how that works.
But it's okay. It's good.
We'll make it.
Coming back. Building back better, you know. Anyways.
Yeah, build back better. That's what it was, wasn't it?
So, the crappie bite. Yeah, the crappie bite's been really good here, like the Ozarks, for trolling for them. I've been doing a little bit of it, trolling crankbaits for crappie, which is something Matt kind of introduced me to. And buddy, I'm gonna tell you right now, I've caught some big ones. I think I caught 2 fish last night over 14 inches long, and I never catch 2 in one day. Right? That big, you know. But we caught.
I've been hearing the catfish bite is good. Now I haven't, you know, obviously I've been gone to Florida for 2 weeks and whatever, but I saw some guys the other night when we were out that had, how many jugs they have out there?
Oh, 20 or 30. I mean, they had quite a few.
Right. And I didn't.
Never seen them catch a fish.
I didn't see them catch a fish.
No.
Now, a lot of guys are saying the catfish bite's on pretty good. I would think a lot of those fish would be going to the nest right now.
I would think they should be already on it and then. You know, here, I don't know to 100%. I mean, I know they're nesting and stuff.
Right.
But I'd think in a couple of weeks they'd be coming back off of it, which would be a really good time to try for the catfish. But when they get on the nest, it's just, you catch them all the time.
Right.
But because they don't all go on the nest all at once.
But so I don't know, but.
Because I'll tell you this, last week I was catching them trolling for crappie.
Right.
This week, I haven't caught one.
With the water temperatures where they're at.
Basically 80 now. I mean, it was hanging at that 75 mark for a long time, and then here in the past 3 days, it's went up to 80. I say, I've been on the lake every night besides tonight, guys. Like, it's been ridiculous. Right. But I know the water's about 80. So, the crappie bite's been good. The fishing, the boat pressure's a little rough, but just got to pick your times. Early in the morning, late in the evenings, if you can do it, is the time to do it. But
I went pond hopping this morning fishing, and hell, even in the ponds, they're not biting real good.
Yeah.
The catfish isn't.
All right, guys, we're gonna take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Hi, folks, this is Matt Smith of Ozark Traditions TV. I hope you are enjoying this OTTV podcast. When you're not listening to the team members discuss hunting strategies and telling stories, you can go to our YouTube channel and watch your favorite episodes there. And while you're on the web, head on over to our Facebook page and give us a like. Thanks for listening to this week's OTTV podcast. Hunting with my family.
Who could ask for more? All right, guys, welcome back. We were just having a conversation in our break here about how bad things are in the world, which we shouldn't be talking about. Everything's good. We're all still breathing and alive, but
it could always be worse.
It could always be worse, but we were just thinking, you know, gas prices and stuff, the possum population, we were talking, you know, we're going to eat a possum on the thing, on the whatever you want to call it, the first annual possum fry. But, boys, I don't, like, you know, it may get rough out here, so we may have to learn to love it, you know?
Yeah.
Well, like you said, though, there's plenty of squirrels and deer we got to get through before we got to the resort.
We got a lake full of fish out there.
Right. Yeah, we'll get through all that before we get to the possums.
Right.
You know what, though? It may be really good. I doubt it, but maybe.
Well, I'm skeptical.
We'll see. It's probably going to surprise you.
Probably be good.
I feel like.
Be gooder than grits, probably.
The thing I'm running into, every possum I see, I think about it dead on
the
road.
Oh, me too.
Everyone I see, I'm thinking, we're going to be eating one of them things.
I seen one alive the other day across the gravel road.
They all mean something now.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah, everyone I see, I'm like, man, them guys going to eat one of them. I don't know.
Yeah.
Not you guys.
Yeah, when you see him running across the road with a diaper on his head because he just came out of somebody's trash can.
Right.
It's like, boy, I can't wait to eat one of them. When the recipe, the last podcast or whenever it was, it says rinse in water until it runs clear. That just right there just told me, nah, that can't be good right there. That just, like, I'm almost to the point that if we get one, we kill it, give it a bath, like shampoo,
conditioner,
clean it, then skin. I don't know. Maybe it don't matter. Maybe I'm being pansy about it.
Anyway, so. What's inside, it counts.
Right. That's what they say.
That's what they say.
That's what they say. It's on the inside. It's not on the outside. Yeah. It's on the inside.
Can't judge a book by its cover. That's what they say.
That's what they say. You can't judge a possum by its skin.
Oof. Well, I hate to be too judgy, but there's some of them I'm pretty judgmental about, you know?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he comes out, look like he just come out of a septic tank. And they probably would.
Yeah, I don't think they're not too choosy.
No, they are not.
I tell you what, it don't matter what the economy does. The old possum, he's thriving.
He's gonna
eat
good.
You know, he's thriving.
Eat good in the neighborhood.
Don't matter.
Yeah. So there we are. We got off on the possum thing. I think we just talk about it because we're nervous about it, and we just got to keep it funny until the time comes.
Yeah.
Justin's being very quiet. Yeah. Like he's going to get out of this or something. No.
He's not until August.
He's waiting for a date drop. And then he's like, oh man, guys, I'm up here in Omaha.
Yeah.
And then he's going to, and then he's going to hear.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, hey, surprise. Possum cookout's at your house.
Got the fish cooker out here.
That's right.
Don't worry, we bought some of that Red Lobster Hush Puppy mix we'll put on there for a batter.
He's like, how'd you guys find me? We're like, Onyx.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, we don't give a date for it.
No.
No date.
Yeah.
We're going to invite Justin down for a fishing trip.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard the catfish are really biting.
Yeah, you got to get down here, Hampton. It's been good.
Uh-huh.
It won't be that bad.
Nah.
We'll cook some crappie and stuff to go with it. But
hey, speaking of the fishing, go ahead, Hampton.
No, I lost my train of thought.
Well, I was going to say, speaking of the fishing, I noticed the other night, the Monday night bass tournaments are back out of Larry Gale.
Mm-hmm.
That's cranked back up. Have you heard how anybody's doing in that? Or
I don't know. I'll have to ask. I know Kyle Mankey fished it last Monday night.
Yeah, so it's Truck. Thanks for the invite, Kyle.
There's been, all of them are cranked back up. I know it's been taking about 11, 12 pounds to win most of them now. But I haven't talked to, I'd have to ask Mankey. He's big into it.
Oh, yeah.
I've had a couple guys try to get me. Taylor, cousin Taylor, wants me to fish one with him.
Yeah.
Which he loves the bass fish. He's like, man, I can catch them. I don't know how good I can catch them in a boat. I was like, man, if you can walk down the bank and catch them, you'll be amazed what you can do out of a boat.
Right.
But, man, I haven't fished for a ditch pickle in like a year and a half, 2 years. I don't know.
What'd you call it?
A ditch pickle.
Ditch pickle?
Well, they get green like a pickle, and usually when I catch them, I throw them in the ditch, so I call them a ditch pickle.
I
don't do it. Okay, all you bass fishermen that just had a heart
attack.
Take
a breath.
It was a joke.
Count to 10, get in your safe space.
I don't throw them in the ditch. I usually throw them in right there next to the crappie in the frying pan and just...
Oh, he did it. He went there.
Oh, I have done that. There's no lie about that.
They're not bad. We eat some at Palmy.
Honestly, guys, I really honestly think it would do the bass population some good to keep a few of them.
Well, we'll just start keeping some, see if it helps.
We'll see if it changes. But don't worry, I'll only keep the bigger ones. You know, I'll let the little ones grow. We'll let them.
Yeah,
if they're not over 5 pounds.
Yeah, do it like the bucks.
Yeah,
let just them harvest grow. The big ones.
Just hard the big mature ones. You know,
these guys are pulling their hair out.
Yeah, this is 6-7 pounders. You know, I'm not gonna them 2 pounders. We'll let them grow.
Right.
For you guys bass fishing, you know, just let them get bigger.
Yeah.
Put the knife to the sow pigs. I couldn't catch a 6-pound bass if I tried. I don't know what. You guys ain't got nothing to worry about. I have to find it somewhere.
I've caught them, but it's been many moon ago.
I mean, I've caught them on accident.
Believe it or not, I used to actually fish some things on purpose.
Oh, I did too. They're a lot of fun to catch. They really are. They just, I don't know. There's something.
My deal is then I got grown and I caught a crappie and I looked. I'm like, man, that fish batter's like 385.
Honestly, I'm going to be honest here. My thing, and it may make some guys mad, I guess, but my thing about bass fishing is how arrogant the guys that do it are.
A lot of them.
A lot of them are just like, if you're not a bass fisherman.
Do you even fish, bro?
Or do you even, you don't have an $80,000 bass boat, you can't catch no fish. I'm going to swing back around to this bass tournament we had.
Right.
If this kid could have kept these fish alive, guys, he was going to take the money from these old boys, and he was in a $12 John boat, stick and steer, fiberglass Ozark with a 60-horse motor on it.
Did I send you the TikTok video with the old boy that had all the graphs on his boat? Did I send you that?
Mm-mm.
You know, a lot of guys are running like two at the console.
And two on the front.
Two at the front. Oh, no. He had three up front and three at the console. 6 graphs.
Imagine the batteries you have to run in that boat to keep that stuff alive.
Oh, a crazy amount. Now, these graphs are about $3,000
a piece.
A piece. Yeah. Okay. That's a lot of money. Plus the batteries. And it was funny, this guy videoed this guy's boat. He had her tied up to the courtesy dock.
Mm-hmm. That's $18,000 worth of graphs.
And his little boy. He was looking at it, they was videoing the river, and he's like, well, you think he's going to catch any fish with those? And his little boy's like, yeah, probably. And the dad goes, yeah, he's probably going to catch all of them.
Yeah.
I thought, boy, that's too much.
Well, so nowadays in the world, and don't get me wrong, it's awesome. I'd love to have it. The live scope's taken over the fishing industry. And it's got guys nowadays thinking, especially the tournament, and this, like the whole sport of fishing a tournament, and I'm not talking about bass tournaments. I'm like, it's eating the crappie tournaments up. The good old cat fishermen, they use it for that, but they don't, it's not as a big a factor. But it's like got to where now, like, you can't even fish a tournament. Guys will tell you, don't even bother if you don't have live scope. Like, you can't beat them guys.
Yeah.
And all I can remember 10 years ago, maybe a little longer ago, maybe, I don't know, the spider rigging, it was the same thing. When them guys first started spider rigging, them guys are spider rigging, you can't beat them guys.
Yep.
And then they started trolling crankbaits. All them guys are trolling. You can't beat them, you know, unless you're doing it. Well, now this thing has all come out. And give it a couple years, it'll be cheap enough, everybody will have it. Well, then what? Now everybody's going to be on an equal playing field, and I think it's going to it takes the fishing out of fishing, I guess is what I mean. It's a lot of fun. I'm not dogging it at all. I'd love to have it on my boat, but it's a video. It turned fishing into a video game.
Yeah, pretty much.
It really did. And I know a lot of guys that have it, and they're like, man, sometimes I get tired of it. I just got to go fishing. Like, I don't even turn it. I know Bobby's told me a couple times, like, I just don't even turn it on.
Right.
Like, I just go out and I just go fight. Kyle Mankey, same way. Just go out and go fishing.
Yeah. That's what I do, because I don't have it.
So. Yeah, right. And guys, I'm telling you, I don't know what I'm doing. Matt told me about this trolling crankbase for crappie last year, and I started doing it this summer, and... Guys, I've caught fish that I'm not too sure I couldn't take home some money in a tournament. I'm not saying I could win one, but if I had seven of them 14.5-inch crappie,
then you maybe get a check.
I could probably get $5 or $6 out of that deal, especially if they weren't spawned out and skinny like they are. Because, right. You know, I'm catching these great big old fish.
Yeah, but
and,
everybody's fishing like that right now.
Right, everybody's are. But so it's exciting.
That ain't even enough to pay for the gas.
No. Well, you're doing it. It's just like trapping. You're doing that because you like doing it, not to pay the bills.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, all that. You can't go out and win a bass tournament. And these guys will come out and win $200 in a crappie tournament and drive 40 miles up the lake and burn $900 worth of gas to win it. You know, it's just like, okay, yeah, you won.
Yeah.
You're in good luck. You're in debt.
Yeah, right.
You won $200. You spent $300 in fuel to win it. And I get it.
Now, I saw Chandler's kind of hit a dry spell. He got fourth the other day.
Yeah, poor guy. Fourth out of probably 50, 60 boats.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, and then we've fished tournaments like that. Like, a lot of guys have run 900 miles to go catch one, and they'll win it.
Yeah.
But,
hey.
Well, that was Trump's days, you know, it was only like $1.95 whenever.
Right, yeah, well, back when I was doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Trump was in office, you could try to win a tournament.
Yeah, you could put $25 in your
Now everybody races to the first dock.
Yeah, right, yeah, now it's like, well, I don't really want to, well, honestly, me and Matt, I told you guys earlier, I've been fishing almost every day this week. I've only fired the big motor up to take it on and off the trailer. Like, I've been running on that electric juice.
Yeah, we went full electric boats.
Pretty much. I mean, and it's just crazy. I mean, it's sad. It is, and it's going to affect a lot of the fishermen. I know there's a lot of guys fish for a living that have had to go up on their prices, and it's not.
Well,
and it sucks because everybody's struggling.
Well, and I hope that, you know, like for the guides and stuff, I hope it doesn't put the price point to where people stop doing stuff.
Right.
Because
most of the guides really don't want to gouge you.
No, but at the end of the day, I mean, you're doing it to make a living. And
I mean, shoot, man, you got to put gas in that thing.
Right.
You know, and I know Cody Vannett, and I'm sure most of the other guys, you know, $50 now extra for fuel.
Right.
And everybody's like, $50? Well, that's going to be for one day of fishing, if he's lucky.
Right. Well, and you got to think, okay, he's putting fuel in the truck to get the boat to the ramp.
Yeah. Well, this is his job.
So, I mean, you know, that $50, if somebody thinks that's out of line, well, I mean, that's literally just covering the fuel.
You know, but what I'm afraid is going to happen is, like what you said, is that people are just going to stop doing that. They're not going to be able to afford to say, hey, I want to go on a fishing trip this year. Well,
yeah,
you know, the way that the economy and all this is, I just can't afford to pay $350 to go snagging or go.
How far will a tank of fuel run in a boat? On a normal bass boat, kind of like what you got, man.
Probably, what do you get, like a mile and a half, probably?
No, I get better than on mine, but it just depends on, like, these big motor. Like, so your guys running your bass tournaments and stuff, they might get 2.5-3 miles a gallon.
Oh, well, the new four-strokes actually do pretty decent.
Right.
But you got to remember, a guide, he's going every day.
Yep.
And if you can catch...
How many gallons?
If you can catch your, what you got to try to do, Justin, is fish close to wherever you're putting your boat in.
Yeah.
But you still got to get your boat there.
Right.
Like everybody's like, oh, you're burning all that fuel in your boat. Well, you got to drag it there with something too.
Right. So you got your truck fuel, you got your boat fuel.
You know, so. You know?
So like Hampton, like when we were going snagging, like we did our show. When was that? The first Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And we fished Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
So that weekend, I burnt all $170, $180 worth of fuel
that weekend
in the boat and the truck for that weekend.
Well, that was the thing. Like where we were going snagging, it was a 5-second boat ride.
Right.
But it was an hour truck ride.
Yeah.
You know, and we can fish close to the house here. And it's a 5-minute truck ride.
Right.
But to catch fish, you got to go on a 20-minute boat ride, you know, and it's like, well, what do you do?
Yeah.
So it's going to, the fuel, it's going to affect everything. We just got to hang in there. like I said, hang in there. Maybe better days are coming. Let's all hope and pray. Maybe on this next election, we'll fix it. But I don't
maybe.
Know. We'll see.
Hopefully.
Maybe it's not even going to, maybe it's going to come to, we'll have to do it ourselves.
Hey.
I mean, it's.
we're going to be back on Facebook Live next Monday, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
We didn't do it this Monday because, like I said, Matt Smith's 25 years young.
Yeah.
So had we big, let him have the night off.
Had a big birthday party. Had Did you get anything thing. Cool for your birthday?
No.
No.
Nothing.
Nothing.
What kind of cake did your wife make you?
None.
Zero. Ibuprofen and a glass of water.
Yeah. Went to bed early.
Yeah, he said I got to go to bed early. It was pretty good.
Yeah, didn't even get nothing. No pie or cake
no.
or
no. Cookie. Well, they did. My daughter and my grandson, my wife did come down to my work, and we went and ate at Colton's.
Well,
for lunch.
That's pretty good.
That was all right.
That's
all
right. I'll take it.
Be all right.
I'll take it. You know.
Now when? Hey, isn't Father's Day coming up?
Is it? It's in this month. Yeah, Father's Day, nobody talks about that.
Yeah.
Isn't it coming up, though?
I yeah, know. It's...
They don't make a big deal about it like they do Mother's Day, man. Come on.
Man, I hope I bought something cool for me.
Yeah. Let that sink in for
a just
second.
Everybody let that marinate. Yeah, not this Sunday, but next.
Buddy, if I don't get flowers at work, I'm going to be pissed.
Me, too. And a box of chocolates. Me and Corey can split them at lunch.
Yeah. The flowers I don't really need, but the chocolates might be just what I need to get through the day.
Nah, my hands are too usually dirty to eat.
Buddy, I had to eat a bag of stale fries, the cheddar fry, like the...
Oh, yeah, Andy's.
And that's it.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Well, I just bought them yesterday. Yeah. Well, we get out on a job, boy. She's like a Sahara Desert. Like, there's nothing. You know, and I'm getting hungry.
Uh-huh.
So I'm digging around in the truck, and I find an old Smarties rolling around on the floor, but it was, like, weird colored. It got wet.
Yeah.
I tried one. It was terrible. I didn't eat the rest of them. And I'm like, man, I'm starving. And Billy's like, oh, I got a pack of cookies in here, you know. There was 3 cookies left. Man, the best cookies I've ever ate in my life.
I bet.
And then I found my bag of fries I had from yesterday.
Yeah, Andy's hot fries.
Yeah, and I wadded them up at the top. I thought they'd be... But I ate them. I ain't gonna sit here and lie.
Being somewhat of an Andy Fry expert,
they get stale fast.
I think when you open them, they're already like
kind of chewy.
They're like quarter or third stale right there. You know what I'm saying?
Right, but they're good stale. They're like a pork rind. You know, they're kind of chewy.
But buddy, you let them go 3-4 hours. I mean, those are kind of like, you know, eating gar. Got to eat them fresh.
Maybe.
It may be from the people hauling them. May have accidentally frozen.
Oh, you froze the fries?
What's the deal, Hampton?
Don't be freezing the Andy fries, all right? They're pretty good, and the hot ones ain't really that bad, hot-wise. Now, they sell a pork rind that'll light you up.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think it's Andy's. It's got the little kid fishing in a creek on a picture or something.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's nothing like that. I don't know. There's something on the bag, and they're hot, spicy pork rinds.
Sounded right.
If you gotta have something to drink.
Yeah.
Like if you walk out of there and just buy them, you're gonna die. You ain't gonna make it. Like you gotta get you gotta have something to go with it.
Have you guys seen the new Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew?
Yeah, there's no way I'm drinking that.
No. Wait a minute.
I sent you a TikTok video the other day. The guy drank the ranch dressing soda.
Oh, no. Uh-uh.
Oh, yeah. Let that sink for just a second.
Hey, I wonder if them Flaming Hot Mountain Dews, wonder how that pair with possum.
It'd probably be pretty good.
No. No. I'll drink the ranch dressing Mountain Dew. That's got to be terrible. The ranch dressing soda is what it was.
Nah, I can't be no good. I mean, I like ranch, but.
Don't Jones.
You don't like ranch?
I don't either.
Thousand that, Island that's guy.
I'm a French.
French.
Oh, French.
Yeah.
F. Which it's like ketchup to me.
He carries a little bottle with him.
You laugh about that. I seen a guy at the swap meet, which you see a lot of guys at the swap meet. Buddy, if he had a pouch for everything. He had a belt on.
Yeah.
Looked like a Bob the Builder belt.
Yeah.
He had a leather. He must have been a leather worker. I'm not exact. I should have took a picture. He had his little Tabasco on one. He had his can of Skull. He had a little pouch made for it. A cell phone holder. I'm talking genuine leather, buddy.
Woo.
Had the flip phone in there.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And I'm not too sure. It was either a set of handcuffs or weird-looking pliers in the other one. I mean, the guy was legit set
up. He was loaded for bear.
Yeah, all leather. I mean, it was all leather. The little chew can holder was cool, though. I thought that was cool. I thought it was handcuffs at first,
right?
Which I'm not too sure he didn't have them. But I got up there looking, and it was
well. You know what the handcuffs are for, don't you? In case you try to get his Tabasco
or his tobacco, and he's going to handcuff you. He's going to cuff you. I don't know. Cuff all he was missing him. Was a drink holder, buddy. That swap meet.
Yeah, you see some people there. That's
what
the
swap
pigeon.
Meet was it?
Jacob's Cave pigeon swap.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of it.
She's a mile-long loop you got to walk. Justice Wadley was selling some stuff up there.
Yeah.
He had him a bunch of duck decoys and whatever else, some dogs. Who knows? You know how Justin.
Never know.
Love him death. He sells it all. Everything's for sale. Chickens. Boys, they had the chickens. My wife bought some chickens.
Huh, you don't say.
Yeah, she's a chicken whore.
No goats?
No. Oh, they had them.
You need some more goats?
He said, nah.
No. You need one. Hampton, I got two billies for sale.
No, I don't need one.
I got two billies for free.
No, I don't need one still.
He's like, okay, I got a billy and $10.
Come on, Hampton, let's work with me.
That won't even pay for the feed.
I don't care what you do with it after. Just come get it and be like, boy, it's going to go. And show her the pictures of the nice big farm you got and like, oh, it's going to play with the kids and all this. And then after you leave, you can take it down to Felipe's and sell it to the Mexicans. I don't care.
Well, my neighbor had 1,600 head of sheep.
What?
Right next to
us.
Yeah.
How many?
Imagine that.
1,500 head of sheep?
1,600.
Oh, 16. That's not. Either way. It's not any better. I imagine 1,500 sheep's a lot like 1,600, you know.
Yeah. Every week we'd find ear tags drug across our property where the cats would go get them.
Must be a little bitty sheep. Oh, you're talking like mountain lions.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not
when you say cats, I was thinking like a Maine Coon cat or something. Like.
No.
Dragging the sheep off. That's a lot of sheep. Never been much of a sheep farmer. I'm not much of a goat farmer. I just kind of got married into it. That ain't no lie. I hate it. And she knows it. And
you know what you need to do? You need to take her to an exotic sale.
You want
to
know what I do, Hampton? Every night there's a thunderstorm. I just pray to God that big tree out there gets hit by lightning and just poof, all of them. Last night, I thought maybe there was a hope.
I wondered what she's doing with them copper rods taped to the top of that tree.
That's the new goat pen. I put them all the way around the fence and like, hey, Megan, you can hook their leash to those, you know, and keep them tied up. Oh, I don't know.
That ain't right. I hope she don't listen to this. You'll be in trouble.
They don't even watch her Facebook Live videos.
Heck, it could be worse. She could be bringing cats home.
Oh, they got them too.
Yeah. I got one living in the. I haven't used the front bathroom of my house in a year because he lives. There's Megan's cat lives in the bathroom.
Yeah, what's that one's name?
I can't say it on here.
Okay.
Or that's what I call it. I don't really know what his name is.
The stinky cat.
Yeah.
Huh.
So there's that. Thanks for bringing that up, Hampton. I appreciate it.
This is kind of off the subject.
Yeah, let's go ahead.
He was talking about fish. Did you see what was caught? What broke another record at the MDC? What was that?
I seen it. It was a something weird. It was a
something to do with like bow fishing or not? Or was it?
I thought maybe.
What was it? It was a record. Another record.
Was it a big head carp?
I don't know.
No.
It was kind of oddball, wasn't it? I mean,
yeah, it was something like a, we'll let Hampton look it up.
But I just seen it was, and he wouldn't say where it was caught at, you know.
Yeah.
Naturally, but.
Probably some trash fish. And
it was something weird. Yeah. It wasn't like a, it was something different, and I can't remember what it was.
I'm not.
I seen it the other day.
I seen it go through Facebook.
But I don't know if the MDC actually, did they post it?
I don't know.
Because I don't think it was official, because I don't think the kid would say where they got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would have broke the state record, whatever it was. But because he didn't, you know, he dug it out of somewhere, fish tank somewhere.
Yeah. Here's him back in the 25th, caught a state record walleye.
No,
£7.8
Yeah, it wasn't.
What now?
That's a state record. Must be a sauger.
Yeah, it ain't no walleye.
I think the walleye was like 10.
Yep,
that one you got on the wall's bigger than 7 pounds, ain't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You got the state record walleye? You didn't tell me?
Maybe. I don't know.
We've been walking past that thing every day. It's state record.
Huh? I don't know.
I think I caught the state record mosquito yesterday. I didn't weigh him, though, but he was big, you know, thanks to all them goats.
But you did kill him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's done. So I find out if I got Drew for my elk tag July 1st. You guys excited?
I'm pumped.
I've done my research. I can actually take somebody and film the whole thing, too.
Yeah. So, Matt, you can go walk the mountains and live live with the elk.
When do they find out?
July 1st.
Oh, July 1st.
Mm-hmm. He said,
The odds
are. It ended, what, end of May?
Huh?
When was the register to?
Beginning of June.
Oh, beginning. Or,
was it the whole month of May? It was the whole month of May. Yeah.
And then was the bear same time or different time?
Both of them at the same time. I didn't put in for the bear, which is stupid because I've seen more bears than I've seen elk.
Yeah. But now, how does that work? Is the bear deal?
The bear deal
I've never put in for it, so I've not researched it. But the bear deal, is that statewide or is that only certain counties?
Bear deals, they got zones.
Okay.
See, the elk thing is basically Peck Ranch.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, which the good thing about the elk thing is actually a better deal. Because all the elk are basically in one spot, and it's 90% public property. You know, they give away so many tags for the landowners around it, and then there's three or four tags for the us. You know, as peasants.
Kind of curious. Kind of see what the numbers are going to be. Like you said, the first year was whatever, and then they dropped way down.
Well, it was just like was like crazy amounts the first year. Last year it was 9,000 people put in for it. I mean, it dropped like three-quarters of the people that put in for it the first time.
Huh.
I bet it's at least 8,000 or 9,000 again.
I'd say she'll hold steady, you know, above 5,000 for a while.
I'd say
so You got a 1 in 8,000 chance of getting attacked.
Yeah, but I got two points because I put in for the very first one.
They're not doing points though.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I know if you get drawn, you can't do it for 10 years.
Yeah, I think what I've read, and this was a year or so ago, because me and a guy got talking about it. The point system isn't gonna. It don't matter because of. It's only a one-time draw.
I don't know. It's $10. I tried it. We'll see. I've spent more money on scratchers than that.
No, so that's rifle?
Anything.
Or bow? Or
you can do both.
Both.
You got 2 seasons to try to fill your tag.
Oh, you can hunt both seasons.
You can. There's a season in October for archery, and then there's a rifle season. Most of the guys kill theirs in the rifle season.
I'm curious just to see, has anybody really killed one with a compound.
I don't think so. I think that both. I think there's only been one or two killed with archery in the archery season. Because
we
know
the one we had on there was a crossbow.
And I'm not too sure the other one wasn't a crossbow.
Boy, that'd be something cool to be the first one to do that.
I don't think. Justin, do some research on that. You're a research guy.
Hey, I'm on it.
He's R&D.
I think most of the elk that's been killed has been killed with a rifle.
One of them about a bear with a bow, compound bow.
You're shooting it with a gun, and you get drawed for that deal, and I'm filming.
I don't know. It'd be pretty cool if you knew.
Oh, I'm going to try the bow season thing, too, but I got the gun to kill one with, so either way.
It'd be just neat.
I think it'd be cool. I'm saying the bear deal.
Oh, yeah.
You get drawed on that bear deal now. Matt, we're going to talk about that.
He said, I've seen you shoot a bow. I think we'll do the gun season. I don't know if I'll ever do the bear thing. The bear thing isn't so hard to get drawn for.
Oh, really?
Well, they give out a lot more tags for that. There's so many tags, but once they give out a whole bunch of tags, but there's only so many bears allowed to be killed. So once all them bears are killed, the tags are no good.
Oh.
All right. Here it is.
Yeah.
Two elk were harvested during the archery season that ran from October 16th to October 24th. It does not say.
Well, we know one of them was a crossbow. And I'm pretty sure the other one was a crossbow. I'm almost positive, but I'm not 100%. But boy, it'd be something if there wasn't.
Yeah, that would be cool. How cool would that be?
I mean, you want to talk about get us on the map.
But the thing is, though, you'd have to be dedicated to do that. And don't stray away from it.
Yeah.
Going archery.
Yeah.
You know, you think they'll like
because you can still hunt during the rifle season with a bow.
Yeah, it'd be tough, though, to go like
that. We could dare. I hope you get drawn.
Oh, I do, too. I think it'd be awesome. If I get drawn, I'm serious. Me and Matt is going to go down there and take a camp or probably just take something or a hotel.
Tent.
And or that's what – rough it, man.
Live amongst them.
Make a Colorado out of it.
Yeah.
I'm all for it.
I'm in.
And I know you're all for it. That's why I said you'd probably be the camera guy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm seriously, like, go down there and just stay until we kill one.
Get up in there and wolf them.
I mean,
because I'm here to tell you,
if you went, you'd have to want to stay in there.
Yeah, you're never going to get another chance to do it. Here's my look at it. You're never going to do it again.
Right.
So, and that's what old boy, when we done the podcast and talked to, I can't remember his name. Anyways, you're never going to do it again. So, you got to make the best of it while you got the chance.
Well, and the deal, like if you hike way, way, way back in there, be better off just to stay.
Yeah.
Than to pack back out.
Yeah, that just doesn't make any sense to do that. You know, and it's going to be rough, probably. And you never know. We may get down there the first day and kill one. I mean, you just don't, you don't know how that all shakes out. Right. And I don't know the first thing about it. But, and I probably, you know, you'll find out next month. So if you got drawn, you've got all summer long to do it. And it's just like the, you know, the whole deer hunting thing. I'd probably just be focused on that. I mean, honestly, like,
right?
Because I know Colorado and stuff, their breeding season's in September. Now, I don't know if Missouri is the same. I don't know how they work here. A guy'd have to figure that out because you'd want to get down in there and you'd be, I'd imagine it'd be like turkey hunting. You'd want to get down there and listen.
Roost them.
And try to figure out, like, where, and I know, but the thing about elk is I know they move and they'll move, like, a long ways all at once.
Right.
But they claim they don't come off of Peck Ranch. Well, they do, but not a long ways.
Yeah.
Now, I know there's been a few stray bulls that people's gotten trail camera pictures of. And anybody listening, message us. I'm over here talking like we've already got a tag.
Right, yeah.
But you never know. I mean, I've been known to win stuff before, so.
He's the luckiest dude you'll ever meet.
Now, I'm going to keep putting in for it. So, if it ever does happen, I'm going to go at it 100%.
Right.
As hard as I can. So, the cool thing is if I do have to kill one with a rifle, I've already got it.
Yeah.
I mean, I have the perfect Missouri elk hunting rifle. Now, if I was going out Montana and I got that too, I got access to it. I hope he still got it.
Yeah.
My brother has my dad's .338, and then I have grandpa's .375 that I shot the deer with. So, and I imagine here, 150, 200 yards is going to be the longest shot you're going to have down there.
I would imagine, yeah.
Which would be money for the old .375. So, but it would be a really cool deal. I mean, guys, if we get drawn, we're going to try to film it. But we're going to film it because I'm never going to get to do it again. So, and I may never.
At least for 10 years.
No, it'll never happen. And you know, and if a miracle happens and I do get drawn, that may be the only elk hunt I ever get to go on.
Right.
You know, because it's things aren't getting better.
Yeah.
You know, and nobody's going to be able to afford to drop the $800 on an elk tag and do it by yourself in Colorado. Or at least, I mean, I don't got that. I mean, I'd love to.
But it costs you that in gas to drive out there now.
So what we're saying is, if you get drawn, it's 10 years.
10 years before you can put in again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you get drawn.
Yeah.
Not kill, drawn.
Drawn. Oh, yeah. Once you get an elk tag, it's 10 years before you can. Saying, it yeah. doesn't matter if you kill one or not. But so far, it's been 100% success. They have not had one tag that wasn't filled. Now, they haven't all killed great big bulls. Now, most of them, I think, have been. It's a bull only hunt.
Right, right.
I think that, that one landowner the first year shot a spike.
Yeah, that old man, he shot a spike.
But I think everybody else has shot something that, that at least had multiple points on one side.
Right. So think about that spike for a minute.
Oh.
If you knew you wasn't going to get a hunt in 10 years.
Well,
and here's the decision, a guy, and it'd be very tough. Now, I can promise you for the bow season, if it's not at least, and I don't even know what a big bull elk is, but if it's got 3 points on one side of it, I'm whacking it. You know what I'm saying? Now, a spike comes up on me, I'd probably not shoot it. And then that'd be a very hard decision to make because it's like Justin said, how many opportunities
well,
are you going to get?
Well, the gentleman, from what I remember that killed the spike, was an elderly gentleman.
Right.
And he was like, boys,
I'm never going
to
see
He's like, I may not be around in 10 years from now to even put in again.
And I understand that 100%. You know, if you've got the and that would be just where you'd have to get to that crossroads. Now, I'm imagining you're probably, I feel like elk are herd animals. So I don't think if you see one, it's just going to be by itself.
Right.
I think most of the time they're always in a group of some sort. I'm like I said, I've never done, and people listen to this probably thinking I'm an idiot. Well, I probably don't know nothing.
Right.
But I don't think elk are they don't hang out by themselves a whole lot. I think there's always a lot of them. And from when we talked to the guy that killed there was multiple elk in the group where he shot his.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't just walk up on one. It was a whole
flock of them coming in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he took a nap and they walked up on him.
Right, which is what I'm hoping happens. I hope me and Matt get out there, take a nap, wake up, elk, boom, done.
Yeah.
But the thing is with this hunt, this type in Missouri, when you hear a once in a lifetime time hunt, this probably truly is because you'll never get drawn again.
No, it's never going to happen.
And until they ever opened up a season.
Right. It would have to be
the way they're doing it. You'll never get drawn.
It'd have to be
it is a once in a lifetime hunt.
Come over the counter thing before it probably won't never happen in Missouri. No. The over the counter thing. But, you know, the draw thing, I mean, a guy's just got to hang in there. You never know, man. You really don't. And I know a lot of people laugh about it, and I ain't doing that and whatever, man.
Well, the
guys,
thing is,
I'll tell
if you
what,
put in, you're definitely not
gonna, right. You have 0% chance. I was at a raffle at the Max Creed School, 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah.
I had $20 in my pocket. That's it. There was a Yeti cooler down there, buddy. I wanted it. It was $5 a ticket for that. I put $15 on that, and they had a $5 ticket for a four-wheeler. I had $5 left. I was like, whatever. I'll put that on the four-wheeler, you know. But I really wanted that Yeti cooler. I won that four-wheeler. I still drive that four-wheeler all over hunting and everything.
I'd almost today trade you a Yeti cooler for that four-wheeler.
Yeah. Oh, and it wasn't just a four-wheeler. It was a Polaris 550 Sportsman. Like, it was not just a...
It's a nice one.
Yeah, was a nice one. We've put her through a little work, made her earn her keep. I've got my $5 worth out of it.
I mean.
Me and Matt drug a deer from the depths of hell.
More than once.
I put its work in, but she's still ready. She's ready to go right now.
Yeah, so he's got that raffle luck.
What else did I
get?
There was something else I ran into.
Are you still trying to win a Yeti?
Nah.
He gave up on that dream, Hampton.
Not too far after that, Walmart come out with the knockoffs, and I just
those
bought
are
one
trails.
Of those. Yeah, and it basically does the same thing, so, you know,
hey,
I got over it.
Speaking of Yeti, I got lucky when I bought mine. I caught it on sale for 50% off.
Yeah?
Because it was the ugliest one they had, and it was dirty as all get out.
Yeah?
And I was like, it does the same thing as that gray one over there, so I better buy it.
Oh, yeah. But, well, there was me getting all my hopes up for this elk thing, so now I'm thinking about that again. But it is a cool deal. I mean, it'd be a once in a lifetime deal. So if by some grace of God it happens, things are going to get interesting for the OTTV team because it may take all of us to kill one.
That's right. We may have to hit it with the truck, but we're going to get it on film.
Yeah, we may have to go all hands on deck to get it done. But the cool thing is they said you can bow hunt that for deer. Like during the elk season, it's open. So you guys could come down and bow hunt, deer hunt, too, while we're down there.
So what you're saying is you want us to drive the elk to you.
I no, just want you to be saying, if you see one, maybe shoot me a text, you know, like, hey,
oh, okay.
There's an elk over
there's
here.
There's a flock of them over here. Where you really, doing is that?
That's really gonna, all I'm asking.
we're going to go on an elk drive.
Yeah, well, I couldn't hit one running. I don't know. They're pretty big. I grew up shooting deer running. It'd have to be on the rifle thing. I don't know if I can Robin Hood one running. It would be something a guy'd really have to commit to. Like, you'd have to really start practicing, like, where's the kill zone on an elk and shooting 50 yards. And
Let me ask you this. If you're out there, you get drawn, and it's the last day of archery season for elk, and one steps out at 100 yards, are you taking the shot?
No.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm gonna crawl up to at least 70. I just don't think, man. Here's another thing about that.
What if he's in an open field and you can't?
I just don't think I'd want to take the chance of
just wounding one.
I mean, you know, these things aren't that. I'm not into the just going out there and just to shoot. Like, I want to kill it.
Yeah,
and I feel like I'm not. I know there's guys that shoot 100 yards all the time.
Yeah,
I'm not that guy. Now, could I practice up and maybe get some better equipment and do it? Yeah. But I don't know. I feel like I could just be patient and bobcat and get close enough to,
yeah,
you know, to make it happen. Now, maybe I have to keep Matt Baddock at 100 yards filming it and me have to. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how. See, a guy would really have to dig into the elk thing. Like, can they see really good? I don't think so, but I know they can smell like crazy.
Right.
I think he'd have to get you one of them elk decoys on the front of the bow, kind of like the turkeys.
Well, isn't that what's his name did with the crossbow? I think he had a decoy, and he walked up to him. Which you can get those Montana fold-up ones. They're not, you know, $40-$50 for one of them things. Can I talk myself into buying one of them and never using it again?
Probably not.
Probably not. If somebody had one, they'd let me borrow. Message me on Facebook.
Right, yeah. I'm thinking you can just get in the tall grass and wait them out, man.
Buddy, it's Missouri. It's not like we're out in Montana. I feel like the bobcat and opportunities would be pretty decent.
Yeah.
You know. Especially,
you just got to watch that nose. I mean, that'd be, I think, the main
right,
thing.
Right, as long as your wind's right and you don't get crazy big hurry. Or maybe just see which way they're going and try to get in front of them. I mean, it's, we'll worry about it when it happens, you know. If a guy, you know, it's, the chances aren't great, but you never know. So,
but you're telling me there's a chance.
There's always a chance. So, but all right, guys. Well, I think we're gonna wrap her up. And now that we got all wound up about the elk and the possum eating, so we'll another couple weeks. I think these guys will probably be calling me. I'll be in Florida on the next podcast, so you guys will probably have to call me on the phone. I'll be down there doing Florida stuff. Next Monday night here coming up, we'll have the Facebook Live again. Matt's got a goodie pack put together for everybody. We got to get one sent to, never mind. He's already got it. I about tried to get him another one. But
what was that guy's name?
I can't remember now. He's from North Dakota. But everybody listening, we'll if you haven't, be watching for our Facebook Live on Facebook. It's a pretty cool deal. We got some giveaway stuff, talk about stuff like eating possums. It's a real interesting deal, so if you like the podcast, you'll like that. But we'll be back with that on Monday, and then talk to you guys later on the podcast here in a couple weeks. So, as always, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you guys on the next one.
The Ozark Traditions TV podcast crew would appreciate it if you leave a 5-star rating and subscribe on your favorite podcast apps so you don't miss an episode. And also, be sure to check out our hunting episodes on our YouTube channel, and don't forget to subscribe. While you're on the web, Head on over to our Facebook page and click on the follow and like button to see what the Ozark Traditions TV crew is up to. Ozark Traditions TV would like to thank you for joining in to this week's podcast. Be sure to tune in on our next weekly podcast as we bring the outdoors inside. From all of us at Ozark Traditions TV, we thank you for listening. And remember, if you see us out in God's country, stop us. We'd like to meet you.